The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Carlisle, Goodwood and Hamilton on Tuesday afternoon, and we have evening racing on the Poly Track at Kempton as well. So four meetings in total. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, Mr. Mark Walton. Very, very well. Obviously a lot better having, about to spend the next 10 minutes in your company.
Yes, as always.
It has affected everyone, I think.
Yes.
You really brighten up my day, Mark Walton.
Thank you.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I usually take the mic out of you in these podcasts, but I'm going the other way now. I'm going to compliment you so much, you think something weird's going on.
Yeah, I do feel slightly uneasy.
A little bit suspicious,
to be fair.
Can you lend me a tenner?
We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing shortly, but before we do, as always on this early edition of the podcast, we're going to look at the Monday jury in the Racing Post, and wasn't really a massive standout race from the weekend, and you can kind of tell with the questions in the Monday jury. There's a few from left field somewhat.
I particularly thought that if you were an animal, which animal would you be? Was a very odd one.
I can't see that in my paper for some reason.
Oh, right, must be looking at a different Monday jury. It's just under what's your favourite colour?
Oh, you've got the Monday jury for 3 to 6 year olds, haven't you?
I have. I've got the Monday jury from the Beano. So I thought that was the one we were doing.
Let's focus on the Racing Post Monday jury anyway. The first question is, what can we learn from the Solario Stakes won by Actor Bante? They all kind of finished in a bit of a heap in the end, didn't they?
They did a bit. Admittedly, it is my favourite race named after an ice cream.
Yes.
So that's always a bit of a bonus. It was. It was a bit disappointing. It's one of those odd races, though, that falls at a particular time in the calendar at a track as well, where I don't think trainers particularly target Sandown necessarily with their group horses. I mean, we've had a few. John Gosden likes to, obviously, Kingman last year and Western Him.
Small
field, uneasy ground as well. I mean, it was a bonus for Hugo Palmer, obviously showing that if you give him a decent horse, he can work the oracle with them, as it were. It was a bit of an odd race, but Ryan Moore around there as well is incredible.
Yeah.
I don't think we learned a great deal that we didn't already know. Ryan Moore's brilliant, Ryan Sandown. Actor Bante is an upwardly mobile Group 3 horse.
Yeah.
It was a bonus boost for Estacar, who beat him at Newmarket quite comfortably. And obviously, like I said, a bonus for Hugo Palmer as well, as he's had a really good few months.
Mm.
And I mean, he is getting well supported. It's not as if he's got all these horses out of claimers and sellers and he's working miracles with them. But there's plenty of other trainers who get expensive recruits and don't necessarily win the races that he is doing with it. So, fair play to him, yeah.
Yeah. Actor Bante, I thought, did quite well to win as well, because the plan was never to be held up. And then obviously Ryan Moore had to change tactics middle of the race. And then to just get there in time against a small field is not always the easiest thing to do. So
He was a keen goer in his first few races, and he still is a bit.
Yeah.
He's a very strong traveller, so he's clearly got a decent engine in there. It just requires someone like Ryan Moore to truly harness it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to. I very much doubt he's going to go and win a Group One, but first group success for the trainer, and onwards and upwards.
Okay. While we're on the subject of trainers, tell us who you think is the best young trainer around.
Hugo Palmer.
There you go.
See previous question.
Yeah. Is that your actual answer?
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah. For a second, although I just read Ruth Carr's briefly, and it said Mick Easterby was the first thing I thought. Mick Easterby? Best young trainer?
Yeah.
I thought if Mick Easterby's young, then I'm going to have to reassess things. But big fan. Yeah, big fan of Hugo Palmer. As I said, I mean, he has a lot of these really strong travelling types. Short Squeeze is another one. I mean, Pat Smullen gave that a peach. Or did he? I don't know. I'm never sure with these horses. The horses that weave through gaps and get there on the line,
yeah,
you think, was that a good ride? Or was it like putting a coin down one of those games where it just kind of bounces from one pin to another and eventually gets there?
Yeah.
But he's genuinely, he's got a lot of young horses, 2-3-year-olds that are very, very progressive. And yeah, he genuinely is. It just so happens that I think he's definitely the one to have on the right side at the moment.
Okay. Third question. Price-wise, we'll be tackling the autumn double this week. Who are your fancies?
I mean, good luck to Tom Segal, because picking out the winner of the Cambridgeshire and the Cesaro, which is hard enough on the day.
Yes.
Never mind weeks in advance. I mean, the Cambridgeshire is... It used to be a race I'd really look forward to, but it's got increasingly difficult to pick the winner. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of upwardly mobile horses in the mix. Prince of Stars won very, very comfortably last time we saw him on his first start in Handicap Company, and John Gosden again. He's noted for his Cambridgeshire record. The whole group horse in a handicap looks absolutely guaranteed. I mean, Mutakayaf is a group horse in a handicap.
Yep.
He's finished second in the list of companies, finished second to Canuck Chase, who we haven't seen him since Ascot, but he's one of the most exciting horses for the next 12 months or so from the Sir Michael Stout yard. He bolted up in soft ground at Sandown on his maiden, so I don't think he'll have a particular problem with what the ground is likely to be like at Newmarket. But if he's one just at a bigger price, who's quietly progressed this season, is a horse called Tenor for John Ryan. He was previously with Roger Varian, and John Ryan picked him up, and I've just been really impressed with the way he's gone about his last four races. I mean, when he won at Lingfield a few starts ago, he was wide, he was keen, he was rushed up round the bends, and he still powered clear of a pretty good field. And since then, he's finished second in the list of company to Custom Cut, who's just been on a winning streak for the past few weeks. And then last time out, second in the mile handicap over at the Shergar Cup as well. He's not necessarily these sort of quiet 3-year-olds that win this race anymore. So I think Tenor's potentially have a price. And as for Cesarewitch, I mean, Palisade is favoured again, although he didn't quite get home last time, and I'm not overly convinced with the horse. Von der Force is very interesting after winning easily in the Melrose, as is Ruther Glen for the Quinn team, who hasn't been seen since finishing fifth in the Triumph. But yep. Ray Ward has got this race written all over him. Travelled like the best horse by quite a considerable distance in the Goodwood Stakes over 2.5 furlongs. And I've backed him a couple of times this season, and he just has one relentless gallop. And I think he is going to be very much suited by this race. I think it'll be perfect for him. So, yeah, Ray Ward's interested in Cesarewitch, and obviously Mutakayaf and Prince of Stars, but I do think Tenor is mildly interested. Yeah, interesting.
Okay. Tenor currently 20-1 on the website as well, which is a nice price at the moment.
I don't think it'd be much
different
shorter on the day, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Who'd you like in Saturday's Sprint Cup?
I like Tropics. I think Tropics is coming back to his best again. He does tend to hit his stride at the back end of the season, as he did last year. I see absolutely no reason why Tropics can't go well in this. He finished second in the July Cup, which at the time, I mean, the form was a bit muddling because they spread out all over the field, and the ground was a little on the soft side, which always worries you at Newmarket. But last time out, the way he weaved through horses and burst through to get up on the line was very reminiscent of the way Sol Power won at York. He's only 6 years old. Horses of his nature tend to peak around now, so I can see him going very close. And he was 66-1 a few weeks ago. Since he's running the July Cup and winning the listed race, he's now 8-1.
Yeah.
Gordon Lord Byron, I can't believe he didn't win the other day. Got out of a pocket to get beaten on the line. He's obviously sure to go well. Music Master's been well back the past few weeks as well. But I think Tropics is a good each way bet for Dean Ivory.
Okay. Tropics then to win the Sprint Cup on Saturday. Give us a horse or two to have caught your eye recently.
There's one at Sandown the other day on the Friday. One of Jeremy Nazidas, who ran in a 10-furlong handicap called Dance of Heroes. Got beaten by a horse called Ski Lift, who was a very progressive John Gosden inmate. He'd won his maiden at Lingfield back in March, so he hadn't been seen since then. And he travelled like an absolute dream throughout that Sandown race. And he seemed to completely blow up. He got passed by Ski Lift and Green Light on the run-in, but he managed to hold on for third. It was only his fourth run of his career. And he just looked like a horse who would massively come on for that. So I think he's definitely better than a mark of 80.
Okay. Final question of this week's Monday Jury. Richard Hughes has eaten into Ryan Moore's title lead. How do you see it ending?
With one of them beating the other.
Yes.
I'd say so. It's not something I really get involved in particularly. Richard Hughes traditionally finishes very strongly at the back end of the season. And again, it's potentially a coin toss given how things go on. I mean, as I said, Ryan Moore's got a four-day whip ban. Ryan, if Richard Hughes gets two winners a day, then suddenly he's looking likely to be favourite. But yeah. I'd stick with Ryan, even though the problem with Ryan is that he's more like, he'd be more interested in the prestige rides,
yeah,
as opposed to dragging himself up and down the country. But I hope Ryan wins it, because I think he deserves it. I think he's been incredible this season.
He has, yeah.
So I'd stick with Ryan, although so Richard Hughes does tend to get the bit between his teeth at this time of the year.
Yeah, he's going to have more rides, isn't he, than Ryan Moore. And it should all make it very interesting, providing they're both riding winners to the end of the season and no suspensions or injuries after Ryan Moore's ban. It should be all very interesting stuff.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, so that's the Monday Jury for another week. We'll move on. Let's move on to Tuesday's action, and we'll get to Ross's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Tuesday then. Ross has picked out three races for us, starting at Goodwood in their 3:30, and this is a Class 2 nursery over six furlongs, so obviously it's the two-year-olds in action, seven of them in the lineup here, Ross, and which ones are on your shortlist?
Well, most of them, to be fair.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of in-form horses here.
Yeah, really are. I mean, Cool Strutter's mildly interesting. He bolted up at Sandown, and then I thought he ran quite a good race at York in Listed Company over five. No surprise to see him eventually step back up to six. Sunset Sale's been running well, so Richard Hannon. And Flash Fire, who comes into this off the back of a maiden success. And obviously, Mark Johnson at Goodwood is always worth respecting. Quite oppositely, though, Richard Fire, he doesn't usually do that well at Goodwood, and I usually tend to swerve them. But I'm very intrigued by this George Bowen, who won on debut and then was sent into the July Stakes with a task that was far too much for him. He got beaten quite heavily by Ivorwood, but that race has worked out incredibly well, left, right and centre. And I thought he ran a really nice race behind Son of Africa in a nursery last time out here at Goodwood. And the fact that he's got that Goodwood form, and Ryan Moore takes over as well, I thought he was intriguing. Mm. Again, it's a tight little day, it's a tight little race. And Richard Hannon's two are going to be the ones to beat. But I thought George Bowen just had a bit more to come. And Ryan Moore, yeah, caught the eye in terms of, like you said, we were just saying about the Jockeys' Championship. Ryan Moore snapping up these horses.
Yeah.
When wouldn't necessarily be the first port of call for Richard Fahey outside of Yorkshire.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, George Bowen.
Okay, George Bowen then in the 3:30 at Goodwood. Moving on to the 4:05 at Goodwood next, and this is a condition stakes for two-year-olds over seven furlongs. Only four of them in the lineup here, Ross, but you couldn't really rule any of them out with any real conviction.
No, you couldn't, no. I just thought I'd take a little bit of a chance in terms of what I think is going to be the outside with a lot, and that's Step to the Shears. I mean, they're all improving sorts, good contact. Won well in soft grounds at Leicester, but that race hasn't worked out necessarily as well as you thought. And Johnny Barnes was pretty impressive at Yarmouth, kept on battling. But again, yet to be completely convinced about that form, although he was well backed. Make It Up won easily on debut, and then got beaten at Lingfield last time out in a novice event. He got beat by a decent Godolphin inmate. But Step to the Shears is potentially going to be the one they say, oh, he's not got the improvement that the others have. But he's won here at Goodwood, which is a massive plus.
Yeah.
I thought he battled on really well at Salisbury to beat a horse who's since placed in group company. And last time out, he got beat by one of the most exciting horses of the season in the shape of Lamarto, who scooted up. Kotar Glory went on to group glory at Glorious Goodwood. And a day back in third, it's hardly a back number. So I think that he's... the fact that he's got such good course form, he is giving weight away, and people say he's giving weight away to progressive types, blah, blah, blah. But we know he's a mid-90s horse, and that might be good enough to edge it.
Okay. What do you make of the step-up in trip for him, by the way? Just he's up to seven from six.
Yeah, I don't think that's a particular worry, really. you know, he's had a 6 or 7 weeks off, and there's just a lot more of these races around at the back end of the season.
Yep, fair enough. Step to the shears, then, the selection in the 4R5. And moving on to the 520 at Carlisle, which is where we'll finish. This is a Class 6 handicap for 3-year-olds and older over the extended mile and 3 furlongs. Not the best bunch of horses here, Ross, but you must have an opinion.
No, I haven't. That's why I picked it.
Yeah.
Moon Over Rio came out of nowhere to win the other day in a very strongly run race over at Beverley. That horse obviously quite mildly progressive. Chilly Miss intriguing as well. Horse who'd previously been really good in really good form in bumpers. 3 runs in maidens over 9 furlongs, 9 furlongs, and 10 furlongs suggests that, you know, we'll get a handicap mark, then step her up. It's clearly what's going on here. And she didn't run badly at Newcastle last time out. It was a race where the front two were miles clear and the rest were playing for handicap marks, really. So she's of interest. But I think it's about time St. Thomas got his head back in front. He's just in very good form at the moment, St. Thomas. He's finished runner-up on his last 2 starts over this trip. Previously, his best form came over a little bit shorter, but since going hurdling at the back end of last season, I think that's slowed him down almost. And he was staying at the death last time out behind a runaway winner at Beverley. And I think, now at the age of 7, I think mile and a half's pretty much spot on for him. So St. Thomas to get into the winner's enclosure after a couple of near misses.
Okay, St. Thomas then to go one better than recently in the 5.20 from Carlisle. Let's just have a quick summary, Ross, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, we're going for George Bowen in the 3.30 at Goodwood. Take a chance with the outside or likely outsider. Step to the shears in the 4.05 and St. Thomas in the 5.20.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Ross. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Good night.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ross Briley on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Carlisle, Goodwood and Hamilton on Tuesday afternoon and Kempton in the evening. 4 meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.